I thought about, since we had just done a study for a few weeks on the role of women in the church, looking at a whole lot of different aspects of that, I thought maybe what we would do is follow that up with one or two. I don't know that we'll finish everything this morning. If not, we'll finish it next week, talking about church leadership, mainly focusing on elders and deacons, a good follow-up to the study that we were doing before. So that's what we're going to do this morning, and again, probably next week, depending on how far we get this morning. So talking about elders and deacons and what their roles are, what their qualifications are, and all of those kinds of aspects. Now, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of just plain wrong teaching and practice within churches. And I'm just going to use that in the broad spectrum of churches, Christian churches, you know, and so forth, concerning the whole leadership, church leadership aspect and the role of deacons and elders and so forth. There are a lot of, there are many, many, in fact, let me put it this way. There are very few religious groups today in Christianity that actually have elders in their churches. Okay? We have those denominations that have priests and bishops and all of those kinds of things and a whole hierarchy of clergy. We have, which I believe is the predominant way of doing things amongst, at least amongst many of the Baptist and branches of those, is where we have deacon boards or board of deacons that basically is the leadership of along with the pastor of the church, who is recognized by those groups as the leader of the church. And so there's a whole lot of stuff that folks are teaching and doing and practicing out there. Was out playing golf the other day, one of our guys in the league, and we were out just hitting some balls and all this, and I don't remember how the conversation came up, but we talk oftentimes about church matters and things like that, and he just asked me, he said, so what is the basic difference between the churches of Christ and the Baptist church? And right off the top of my tongue, I said, well, the biggest difference is we follow the Bible and y'all don't. Of course, you know, I said it kind of, you know, seriously, but in jest, he just laughed, you know, just almost couldn't play anymore because he was laughing so hard. But then what that did was that led us into a conversation about church leadership, because then he asked me about the whole elders and deacons and, you know, and all of those kind of things. So we had this discussion about, you know, what are, you know, where are elders, where do they come from, where, you know, who's running the church. And we talked about the difference. And within the churches of Christ, we have elders who are the leaders of the church. And we have deacons who are the servants. And you know, he was sharing with me this, you know, they have a board of deacons and they have a pastor. And I discussed with him the difference between what their understanding of a pastor is versus what we practice in terms of that and so forth. So my point there is that there's a lot of practice out there that is just plain false from what the Bible teaches, and there's a lot of ignorance on the part of a lot of just regular church people about church leadership. I've mentioned this before, the guys in my Wednesday morning Bible study that we have, and this is a group of guys that are business people from just all around the community, come from a lot of different religious backgrounds. But they continue, just regularly, they call me Pastor Russ. That's how they refer to me. I've told them I don't use that, you know, what have you, but that's just what they're used to. To them, the preacher is the pastor, okay? And that's how, that's what they know, all right? So, you know, we have a lot of these different kinds of things going on. Notice that on this particular thing, we have what many refer to as the senior pastor within a church. What would constitute someone being a senior pastor in a church?
Yes, they're the one that gives the sermon.
Okay, but would it normally requires that there be another minister, okay, like an associate minister, a youth minister or something. And so if they have more than one minister, because that's what they're talking about when they refer to a pastor, they're talking about the head or senior minister, okay? And they recognize that as the guy that's in charge, okay? In my discussion with this fellow at the golf course the other day, as we were talking about that very thing, part of it was, he says, so the elders answer to you, right? And I said, no, it doesn't work that way. In our congregation, I'm one of the elders or pastors, okay, as you like to call them, and we are all equal together. I just have a different specific role, okay? And so that was his concept, was this: you have a pastor who is in charge, he's over the church, and everybody else is under him. And this is the way that most people religiously, if you talk to folks outside of the denominations of Catholicism, the Episcopal Church, they have priests and bishops and so forth. But this is basically kind of what you're going to find. As you talk to folks religiously, they recognize the main pastor as the senior, the main preacher rather, as the senior pastor of the church. And then you have deacons, typically a board of deacons is how they refer to them. And so the pastor is over the board of deacons, but the board of deacons is the ones who basically kind of take care of everything and so forth. So, of course, you see the label on there. That is a completely unbiblical concept of church leadership. As dominant as it is today, we need to understand that it is not the biblical model that God laid for His church. We have this particular one that I found, elders and deacons. The elder board, this particular thing says, leads the deacon board. Okay, well, this one is partially true, okay, is it not? Okay, we have deacons in the church and we have elders in the church. And we have elders who are over the deacons, but the whole idea of a board, and I guess somebody would say, well, that's just a label for it or what have you. I guess as long as you're, you know, recognizing where each one, their role is and so forth, I don't know that it's a whole lot of harm in calling them a board. Just call them a group of deacons or a group of elders, you know, what have you. But this is closer to the biblical model of church leadership. We have elders and we have deacons. And that's how God has decided He wants His church to be run. Not by a pastor who is over the whole church and over a board of deacons or what have you. But you have elders and you have deacons. There are, you know, as we look at this, where do we find some of these things? Well, Philippians chapter 1 in verse 1, as Paul begins that letter, notice what he says. He addresses this letter, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including who? The overseers and deacons. Okay? Both of those groups of people there in the church in Philippi that Paul acknowledged and addressed in that letter. So, again, we look at this kind of idea of models and so forth that people have taken. Okay, we have bishops or elders, and we have deacons, and those do not equal a board of deacons that runs the church. Okay, but yet that's exactly what happens with so many churches today. Okay, even though they would say, well, yeah, the Bible talks about elders, they don't have any. And they have a board of deacons that runs everything. So, Let's talk about deacons this morning. We'll go. I think we'll be able to get through that part. If we get through the whole thing, fine. But talk about deacons this morning. What I have planned is we'll talk about the elders next week. Again, depending on the time in here. So we have deacons within the church. Where do they come from? Where does this position come from? Where does it start in the Bible? And what does the Scriptures really teach us about the deacons within the church? How do they become deacons, in other words? What's their qualifications? What is their role in all of those kinds of things? Well, if you go over to Acts chapter 6, is where we find the first mention of a group of men who were selected to serve a particular need within the church. Now, they are not, and many will argue, well, these aren't deacons. They were never referred to as deacons. They're not called deacons. Well, and I would submit to you that based on the definition of the word, as we talked about in our previous study, okay, the word diakonos, that they indeed are deacons. They're referred to as servants here, okay? And that's what the word means. But there was a problem that arose within the church. And keep in mind, what was happening is you have Jews at this point who are being converted to Christianity and are making up the church. Okay, you have some who are, they are Grecians, okay, and there are some who are just Hebrews. And what's happening is there is a dispute that arises amongst them because, as it says in the bottom of this passage here, the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. All right? So this problem came about. There was a need for, you know, food to be distributed, especially to take care of the widows and so forth. But apparently, some widows of one particular group were being neglected. They weren't being given food as they needed to and so forth. So that's the problem. How is the problem addressed? So the 12, what's that talking about? 12 apostles, okay? They gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us, let's see, we got the 12 here, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word, okay, in order to do what? To wait on tables, okay? So the apostles, okay, who are the, right at this point, they're the leaders of the church, right? Okay, so we don't have any elders yet. We have apostles that are leading the churches, and they have a problem within the church. It needs to be fixed. They recognize, say, okay, here's a problem that exists, but that is not something that we need to be taking care of ourselves, because if we take care of that, then we're going to be neglecting the things that we need to be taking care of, which is what? The ministry of the word, all right? Okay? So their solution is this. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men. All right? First qualification is that they are to be what? Men, okay? Select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Okay? So, automatically, based on the study we were doing last week, or over the last few weeks on the role of women, and we're talking about different roles that people have, based on this, okay, does that not tell us very clearly that it was not women who were chosen to do this work, but it was men? Okay? And not just any men, but men who had specific qualities or characteristics, right? Men who were of a good reputation and men who were recognized as being full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Okay? Whom we may put in charge of this task. All right? Now, let's talk about this part for a moment. Notice it says seven men here. Is that a magic number? Is that intended to be a magic number that whenever you have deacons, you got to have seven? Okay. All right. The perfect number we talked about in our Revelation, the symbolism, right? What's the significance of seven here? And the reason I'm bringing this up, because people get hung up on this, okay? Exactly. Thank you. He said maybe that's how many they needed, okay? The apostles recognize that we have a need. Here's the solution we're proposing here. Pick seven men. That's all we need for this, okay? And so that's what they chose. In other words, don't get hung up. And again, some people do. They want to get hung up in technicalities. If you have one deacon, you got to have seven. You can't have six. You can't have eight. You got to have seven deacons because that's what they did then. No. That's not the intent here.
You may not have okay? seven men.
Exactly. Okay. So it is, there was a need. And again, if you understand what the purpose of the deacons is, okay, they are servants, again, by definition, and they're there to serve a particular purpose, right? So if that purpose calls for two deacons, then how many deacons do you need? You need two. If it calls for ten, how many do you need? You need ten, okay? If it only calls for seven, then you pick seven. The point is you select or you choose however many the task requires. Don't get hung up on seven, that they had seven deacons there, okay? Now, here's an interesting verse, and I don't know of anywhere else in the Scriptures where this verse, where these same sentiments are stated. Okay, and it's probably the last time in all of the history of the church where this statement it was true. Okay, all right. This proposal pleased the whole group. All right, they were all pleased at what the apostles had proposed as a solution to this. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose they were pleased? Any idea?
Everybody got what they needed.
Okay. All right. I think that's part of it.
Going to be taken care of.
Okay.
So there was no reason for anybody to object.
Okay. Okay. I heard a preacher. This is not original with me, but I heard a preacher delivering a sermon on this whole topic one time, and he brought this up, and he said, "You know, I think they were pleased because they wanted to be pleased."
They weren't picking for a problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now just kind of let that sink in a little bit. I won't charge you extra for this part of the lesson this morning, okay? Just let that sink in a little bit. How often when we've got stuff going on, you know, in solution problems, do we want to be pleased? You see? Or are we sometimes just looking for reasons to gripe and complain and to pick and all of those kinds of things. You see, this is the infant church here, had a problem. A problem was proposed, and they wanted to be pleased, so they were pleased. They weren't looking for, you know, all the reasons to complain and gripe. They were pleased. That, and to me, that's just a, you know, again, that's the only place in all of Scripture that I know anything like this is said. Okay? All right? That the proposal pleased the whole group. All right, so.
Russ, they also they weren't caught up in traditions.
Yeah.
Because that's usually where you come up. We've never done it that way before.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's.
Exactly right. They were making the traditions,
exactly.
Weren't they? Okay. All right. So, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. All right, now, you know, here is a biblical model. All right. The Holy Spirit is leading these men in this church and in deciding and so forth. The church is pleased with the proposal. They present these men. Their hands are laid upon them. And what is the result of doing things God's way? Verse 7. The word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's what happens when we do things God's way. Okay? And I think that's one of the most important messages from this part of it. When we do things God's way, He's going to bless His church. We start putting in our own way of doing things, then things get all messed up. So let's do things God's way. Now, from this passage here, okay, again, just to show you how folks, and again, I think sometimes if people have a certain concept or an idea in their mind, then they're going to read things into the Scriptures. They're going to twist them to suit their own desires. So here's somebody's take on what we just read. But what is described in Acts 6, 1 through 4, and the character qualities listed in 1 Timothy for a deacon certainly fit one who is involved in administrative responsibilities and monetary oversight. I'm not sure if the person who wrote this can't read the same passage that we just did. I didn't see anything in there about monetary oversight or administrative responsibilities. Exactly. They were servants. But this is an example of how folks will take the passage and twist it around, and so we need a deacon board who's going to take administrative responsibilities and have oversight of the monetary things concerning the church and so forth. Kathy?
Another thing is men of faith and the Holy Spirit. How do you know if they have a good
board? Well, apparently it was showing. You know, people were able to see that amongst these men. Do what now? I believe so. I believe so. You look at people, you look at folks and see, is this person, you know, somebody that has the Spirit in them, obviously, and somebody that's, you know, has wisdom. Okay? So, no, that is not accurate, in an accurate description of this group of men. So we end up with then a deacon's ministry, the top part of here, number four, we should think of deacons as leading from the rear. They keep the flock together, take care of stragglers, work for unity, and help the fallen along the way. The pastor or pastor's ride point. That's the take, again, that folks have on the way things, you know, are supposed to be. The work of deacons, number five on there, will vary from church to church and from year to year, but as in Acts 6 and 7, their service should always reflect so positively on the Lord Jesus Christ that outsiders will want to join such a wonderful fellowship. Now, I agree with that statement.
Shouldn't that be all of us on both of those?
Sure. Things? Sure, it should. But, you know, they're focusing on deacons and from this particular passage and so forth. So, again, on the top part especially, no. Okay? All right. In the New Testament, the office of deacon consisted of women exercising similar roles to the male deacons. Again, this is the take that people place on these things. That's what they want, so that's what they read into the Scriptures. Okay? It consisted of women exercising similar roles to the male deacons. My first question about that to somebody is, where? Where does it indicate that anywhere in Scripture? Okay? Anywhere. Just show me one place. Last week, when the last study we were doing on role of women, we were talking about deaconesses. Okay? We talked about Phoebe. And we have one passage where the word is used, a deaconess, where it is used to refer to her. And that word basically, as we saw, means what? A servant. Okay? All right? It is a servant. But that in no way indicates that we have women who are exercising similar roles to the male deacon. Right. Part of that is, that we're going to see, is because there are qualifications that are given in order for men to serve as deacons. As we said in our previous study, There are no such qualifications anywhere in Scripture for female deacons, okay, or deaconesses. There's nothing there that indicates any qualifications or anything like that for women to serve as deaconesses on a board of deaconesses or any such thing whatsoever. Now, just so that we make sure we understand here, all right, we talked about the fact that women who are servants are deaconesses, right? Technically, by the definition of the word. Okay? But we don't generally refer to them as that. We don't certainly don't have a board of deaconesses or a group or anything else like that. But let me ask you this question. We have certain men, because part of the discussion that we had last time was about women serving on the communion table. Y'all remember that discussion and so forth, okay? So we have men who regularly serve on the communion table every week, every first day of the week, right? But are all of those men who serve on the communion table, are they all deacons? But are they not servants? Okay. So in that sense of the word, by definition, they are deacons, right? Because they're serving, they're servants. But they are not deacons in the formal sense of the of what the biblical role defines and requires as deacons. You see the difference between those two. Okay? Exactly. They're still servants, and so, you know, but we don't refer to them as deacons because they're not recognized as deacons in that particular position that where the qualifications and the role has been specifically spelled out. But they're still servants. And likewise, those women who serve in, you know, in various ways and so forth, we don't refer to them as deaconesses either. Okay? So we just need to understand that distinction. The Scriptures make it very plain. Even though the word is the same, it is a word that means and refers to a servant. In fact, the next slide that I have up here, I don't know if you can read all of that or not, the word translated deacon, diakonos, means literally a humble servant. The role of the deacons is to carry out, under the elders' oversight, some of the more menial tasks of the church so that the elders can give their attention to the more important things. All right? So we have people who are servants, and how many people in the church should be that?
Everyone.
Everybody. But not everybody is going to be qualified to serve as a deacon. So everybody can be a servant and should be a servant. Not everybody can be a deacon. And the reason for that is because there are specific qualifications and there are specific roles that God has given for those positions. Everybody clear on that? Any question at all? Okay. Well, that's just the definition that, that...
In the sense that we think of menial, I mean, that implies they're not important. And
right.
I think they're critical.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. They're not meaningless at all. They're important jobs, important tasks that need to be done. The difference is that these are the tasks that those men need to be doing so that the elders are able to do the work that they need to be doing. As one preacher said one time, what we need to make sure we have going is that we have elders elding and deacons deaconing and preachers preaching. You see? And when deacons don't deek, then elders can't eld. Okay? Because the work needs to be done. And so it goes back to what we talked about in a previous study on women where we looked at, in fact, all the different roles, and God has given each one, okay, each member or place in the body as he decided them to be. Okay? And so the important thing there, just like it was when we were talking about the role of women, is the same thing here. It's important that deacons recognize their role and to fulfill their role. And elders recognize their role and fulfill their role. Right? That way then the work gets done the way that it needs to get done. Okay? So whatever the work needs to be, and again, I certainly would not want to trivialize any of the work that deacons do that needs to be done. It's important work. And maybe the person that wrote this thing was looking at it in terms of comparing possibly, you know, the role of the elders and the shepherding and all of those things and the role of deacons what those different roles really are in there. But certainly I agree with you there that it's not intended to be a menial task in that. All right? But it's the everyday stuff. Okay? If you think about the role of deacons is that they get their hands dirty. Okay? They get down and do all the stuff that the manual stuff that needs to be done and so forth and so on. All right? Any other thoughts on that at all? Okay, so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul here, writing to Timothy, lines out what qualifications deacons are to have. All right, so deacons, likewise, the reason he talks says likewise, because he was just previously in there talking about the role of elders and the qualification of them. We're going to talk about them next. All right, but deacons, like the elders, okay, are to be what? Men. Okay, again, that automatically disqualifies women. All right, and children. It disqualifies everyone except men. Thank you. All right, so they are to be men, first of all, worthy of respect. Sincere, not indulging in much wine. We could get into a whole nother discussion about the word much here. Okay? All right? Not indulging, basically a drunkard. Okay? Not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Now, you know, let's look at a couple of these things in here. We're talking about some basic good characteristics here, right? They've got to be someone who is worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging, and not a drunkard, basically, not pursuing dishonest gain. But look at the next one. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. What does that imply? Okay, they've got to follow the Word of God. In order to do that, what do they have to do? They got to know it. Okay? All right? So these are not to be men who would be an infant in Christ who doesn't really know the Word at all. How are they going to be able to hold to the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience if they don't know what it is? You see? So we're not looking for men who are babes in Christ, as we oftentimes refer to them. We're looking for men who know the truth and are going to be able to hold to that truth. All right? Then it says they must first be tested. All right? How do you test them? Like 20-question quiz or something that we need to throw at them and see if they know all the answers? And
I think if they've already been working. Okay. Sometimes they say if you want a certain job, then you go ahead and do it the things as though you already had it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should have somebody as a deacon who just walked in the door and joined the congregation.
Okay.
Right.
Again, you're looking for people who are going to be doing a specific task. Are these people who are already showing that they have a servant heart and a servant attitude? You know, that's
Paul said to James when he started the transportation ministry, he said, you're already doing this ministry, you might as well get the recognition.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. He was already taking care of that. So, so I think that's the idea of this testing is you're looking at folks who, you know, who has that kind of a heart and mindset of being a servant? Again, go back to Acts chapter 6. What was it they were looking for there? Yeah, the men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. Okay, men who are willing to serve. Okay, and one of the things that we need to make sure, and this is something that I've seen within the church so often, that we need deacons, we need somebody to do a job, and we look around and we got, you know, brother so-and-so, who's just not very active in the church, and what we want to do is try to get him active, so let's make him a deacon over this ministry. And maybe he'll become more active. What's wrong with that? Yeah. The correct answer is everything. Okay? Yeah. You know, and so what's the test involved in that? You see? So, in other words, we have kind of a backward mindset when we're doing things that kind of a way. Let's use this as a way to try to get this person to be doing what they need to be doing. Now, let's look at the people who are already doing what they should be doing and get them to take this particular task on or what have you. Okay? If there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Okay. So in other words, if you know all of these things, you know that there's no problem in any of these areas with this person, then is there any reason why they shouldn't be allowed to serve as deacons? Okay. We'll talk about this for just a moment in terms of appointing these deacons and so forth. And how we oftentimes, we have not done it here, at least not since I've been here that I can recall, but the typical practice in many, many churches of Christ is when they're choosing elders and deacons, they oftentimes will do what? They'll have a vote. Okay? We'll put these names up before the church, and then on this particular date, we're going to have a ballot, and we'll choose the ones who get a certain majority of the congregation and if they meet a certain threshold, 70% of the congregation approves of them, then we'll let them serve as deacons. What's wrong with that idea? Do I? It's not biblical. Again, thank you. You say, again, we're trying to make sure, what are we doing here? We're doing it the way God says to do things. All right? And the result is going to be He's going to bless His church. When we start doing things other ways, okay, and we start selecting elders or deacons based on popularity, we're already asking for trouble. Ray?
Yeah, that's the thing I want to say. These men have to be men who desire, I think the key word is desire to work, right, and the willingness to work, and they are respected by the members of the congregation, not just anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the problem with a vote is that if you're voting against them, it should be because they don't meet one of those qualifications.
Exactly.
And so if that's the case, then nobody should be voting for them.
Exactly.
So that's the problem there.
Exactly. You know, so again, that just kind of illustrates what happens when we start interjecting our own ways about doing this, our own qualifications, our own methods, and so forth. Nothing mentioned here about voting on these folks or anything else. It says if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So, you know, these men are available. We recognize their ability. They don't have any reason amongst all of these things as to why they shouldn't serve. Then you allow them to serve as deacons. You're appointed to be deacons. Chuck? Absolutely. Isn't that a good thing? We'd never have any deacons. Wouldn't have any elders either. Right?
I just know of a situation where, I know it goes on to say, husband of one wife, we have many who've been married several times. I know we don't do the voting thing, but I think I remember some congregations would say, if you have anything that we need to know, you need to let the elders know. And
absolutely.
It's not really a vote. It's
right. Absolutely. And that's basically what we have done. You know, if somebody comes and, you know, or some of them that we have gone to that person and said, hey, we think you would be good to serve as a deacon, and here's why. And so we'd like to put your name before the congregation because maybe something we don't know, you know, that somebody does or what have you. So we put the person's name or the men's name up before the congregation, say, hey, you know, these men, we're considering them to serve as deacons, and so we give a certain amount of time period. If you have any questions or whatever, go and talk to them about it. Go talk to them first. If you don't think they're qualified, then you come and let us know, and let us know why. See? And we don't have any scriptural reason why these men can't serve, then on this particular date, they will be appointed as deacons. And that's as it should be. All right? Okay, real quickly, one other part of this. The top part of this particular slide had what we just read on the previous slide about that. Then the next part of this, beginning in verse 11, is talking about the wives of the deacons. In the same way, their wives, I'm not exactly sure what or way means, but notice that this thing uses deaconesses, okay? And that is an assumption that any wife, any woman who is married to a deaconess is automatically, or to a deacon rather, is automatically a deaconess. Again, where is that in the scriptures? Okay? All right? But again, people want to use that and put that in there. So, but their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon, he goes on to say, must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So, you know, here Paul is indicating that it's not just the qualifications of the man who is serving as a deacon, but also his wife. What kind of a woman is she that needs to be considered in that, right?
the whole matter of serving as an altar of the church. What happens with many denominations, they're putting complications where they are supposed to be.
Yep.
I mean, that's where you get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole lot of
I agree wholeheartedly.
If you're trying to follow Christ and the design that he has for the church, you still can fall into some trouble you may have the one wife, but the wife is busy by it.
Won't be a problem. Right.
Because the Bible said these men are supposed to be able to rule their own house well. Mm-hmm. Not somebody else's house, is that?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what he's falling. You can fall in trouble right here.
Absolutely. So, you know, here's the thing I want you to take away from this, and then we're gonna end here. Is just realizing God has in his word given specific instructions as to how he wants the leadership of his church to be, right? When we follow his instructions, he's going to bless us. If we start doing things other ways, we're not going to be blessed by God, okay? So that's all about the deacons and so forth, just a lot of other things that we could talk about with them, but, you know, for the purpose of our study here. So next week, we're going to talk about elders. We'll look at the eldership and what the Bible has to say about that, all right? And I'll have Jerry and Ray standing up here, and
and
Dale. You know, these guys will be standing up here, and you can throw all kinds of... No, I'm just teasing. All right, thank you all very much.